Hey, how are ya? Hey, how are ya? Hey, how are ya? You are listening to episode number 221 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. How?
Not responsible for that one.
Host for this bountiful harvest today, that is the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Joining me is Balding Eagle of the Slapaho tribe. Balding Eagle, welcome.
How you do?
From the Great White North, joining once again, Red Stockings, welcome back.
Oh, Jesus Christ, we are going to get so many angry letters for this one.
And once again, as pitch as the black sky, seething hatred, welcome back.
I'm not responsible for this one. I'm not taking responsibility here.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3. Tweet, send all your hate tweets to @TheMarvelousE, because I thought this would be funny. And it is funny because of the laughter. You can hear it. If you're not laughing, I don't know what to say. If you don't give it to me, that's fine. All right, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, and that includes going back to the Old West this time. But for now, Red Stockings, please enlighten us on the news that Civil War Part 2 is indeed a real thing.
Yes, indeed, and hopefully this war won't result in a massive relocation of Native American people. This has been in the works for some time. Back in early October, Marvel sent out little neat little postcards with Iron Man and Sam Wilson as Captain America fighting each other on the front with the Roman numeral for 2 listed, and everyone took it to mean that a new Civil War event was on the horizon, and lo and behold, they were right. Civil War 2, to be written by Brian Michael Bendis and illustrated by artist David Marquez, the current Invincible Iron Man team. Civil War 2 will debut in May of 2016, the same month as Captain America Civil War is released into movie theaters. Shock of all shocks. And there's really no other details at this time save the fact that we have Bendis' Invincible Iron Man going toe-to-toe with Cap, Falcon, or whatever the fuck you call him nowadays. And, of course, this event being the follow-up to Civil War, which ran from 2006 to 2007, written by Mark Millar and illustrated by Steve McNiven. The incomparable Steve McNiven. What this supposed event is going to center around is anybody's guess, given the fact that, you know, everything happened with Battle War kind of shuffled things, so there's really no clear issue yet to pounce upon and say this is what the event will be about, but more details are promised to be coming soon from Marvel's camp, but we'll just have to wait and see for right now. But we know for a fact Bendis and Marquez will be the team who are on this book. So
I don't give a fuck. Chief Marvelous One here does not give a fuck about Civil War number 2. This is so stupid. Okay, at least the build up to Civil War 1, from what I remember, was actually interesting, and it set up a lot of things. Whereas this one, because we're still in a new damn paradigm. Are we ready to blow it up already? Like, come on. I mean, this is just it's easy. It's easy what it is. It's a cash in on the movie. It's a stupid marketing campaign. Look, it's written by Bendis. It's going to look gorgeous because it's Dave Marquez. That's a given. But that is not going to save the story. Well, what's the point of doing this? You know what you should do instead of splitting up the Avengers again and like, hey, this is Civil War 2. Just freaking reprint Civil War number 1. That thing will sell itself. The thing that the movie is going to be partially based on. I say partially because it's not going to be completely based on. Either way.
Mostly not based on.
But the main plot of Superhero Registration, that's what it's going to be. So, regardless, I don't understand this. And Falcon Cap hasn't earned, like, at least with Steve and Tony, there was a hit, and Tony still has that, but whatever. With Steve and Tony, they had a well-defined relationship that they both mutually respected each other, and they either fought against each other or helped each other during times of AIDS, see Armor Wars, see the Captain, see whatever. There was a history to all that built up to that, whether it was forged or not. You could believe that. There is no that with the Falcon, who's appearing in the, based on this promo image, is going to be leading the Captain America side, the whatever the Civil War is going to be about this time. He doesn't have that weight as Captain America yet, considering how relatively short he's been Captain America. He doesn't carry that same sort of gravitas that a Steve Rogers does. The gravitas.
Okay, I just like hearing saying it.
Okay. He doesn't have the pageantry, the majestic, any other words I can think of that sums up WrestleMania in one word. He doesn't have any of that. And because of that, we will review issue 1, but no promises after that because this is stupid. At least the Secret Wars, at the beginning, I was hyped because it was something that was done 25 years ago, whatever, it's fine. Civil War, this just seems dumb. This just seems dumber than AVX. I didn't even think that was effing possible. Taser, you go next, as you have some things interesting to say.
I have no interest in reading this story. None. No, you know what? You know what? Not enough info, but from the very idea of it, I am not inclined to give any fucks about what this is about, because this almost feels like Secret Wars 2 back in the 80s.
Oh, God,
because
no.
Marvel couldn't think of anything better to do. They went, hey, you know what? Let's bring the Beyonder home and have him walk around, you know, Marvel Earth, because that was a good idea. Oh, my God. Secret Wars 2 sucked. And I don't have a lot of hope for this. This is, as Ziggy said, it's a rehash. It's a rehash for a cash grab. Because, hey, we struck dirt with it before. Of course we can do it again because we're Marvel. The House of Ideas. Fuck you. Fuck you right in your ear. You know? I am 90% disgusted with the idea of this. I'll leave 10% out there for hope. Because hope. But right now, for the most part, yeah, no fucks given. No fucks at all.
All right. John?
DC has crisis. Marvel has wars. That's what it is now. Otherwise, I give about as many fornication under carnival knowledges as much as you guys, if not less. And thank you for bringing
fucks.
Up...
Say
thank
fucks!
You for Thank you for bringing up Secret Wars 2. You jackass.
Because I'm seething hatred, damn you. I am seething hatred.
And because
hey,
of that mini-
hey, how are you?
Because of that miniseries, I'm Balding Eagle. What are you talking about?
Red Stockings.
I'm intrigued. Admittedly, it's not the characters that hook me, because as we mentioned, this is Tony Stark's kind of new paradigm, and he'll be written by...
This is Tony Stark 3 Iron... This is... At least in Civil War 1, it was Tony Stark before he became Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Tony Stark written by Brian Michael Bendis, so that's a media turnoff. But on top of that, just the inclusion, like you said, of Sam Wilson, he doesn't really have any ties to Iron Man that I know or care about. That being said, the concept intrigues me, if only because I know absolutely nothing about what it concerns. That could very easily turn when they do finally release some plot details, but I'm really intrigued to see what the hell they're pulling out of their ass to justify doing this event, because honestly,
Ant-Man causes an explosion.
Unless it has something to do with fucking the Battle World End, which we still haven't gotten yet, and we probably won't get until after the Civil War 2 starts. It'll probably be delayed again until after April or May, those fuckers. But, I mean, until I find out what it concerns, I really won't be affected one way or the other. I really want to know what it will be about, but it could just easily turn out to be something very stupid, and I'll just not bother with it after that. So I'll withhold judgment until we see what the event concerns, because let me tell you, we have seen many events that we knew the plot details for, and they turned out to be complete shit. So I would like to see what it concerns before I hold judgment, because, you know, these events, they can go one way or the other. Like, you know, you get an event that nobody expects to be good. I remember Siege was unexpectedly good, I thought, and then you got events that are promising,
yeah, but at least
but turn out to be shit.
Here's the difference. At least Siege at least had an interesting build-up. Like, it was all culminating to that. This is coming literally out of, I don't know, Civil War 2? Anybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, again, Civil War 2.
Unless they come up with something really, really good, I probably won't care all that much. I'll still probably at least, you know, keep tabs on it because I'll have to. But I don't know, man. It's really kind of odd just because I don't know what the hell to expect from it. And that's sort of intriguing. But that in itself cannot sustain the excitement for the event. So I'll wait and see what they got up their ass before I reserve judgment. But for now, I'll take Taser's numbers and give it a 10% chance it'll actually get me invested in whatever the fuck it is, and a 90% chance that I just won't give a shit.
So. All right. Well, let's move on from the train wreck that will be Civil War number 2 to apparently a director for the Black Panther. Take it away, Brett.
Yes, sir. Last week, Civil War trailer dropped. Black Panther kicked all kinds of ass, running from the white man in blue, etc. But as we've documented on this podcast before, there's really been no solid lead on who would be helming the Black Panther solo picture set to come out some years from now. I think it was 2018, I want to say?
That was 2017.
I thought it was... it's somewhere in that window, but... there is word that they are in talks to finally pick up their director. And it's February 16th, 2018 is the slated date for Black Panther. So, Black History Month, how about that? That's not themed at all. The director in talks to helm the movie could be Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler was allegedly being pursued by Marvel to take the film some time ago, but allegedly there was a breakdown in negotiations. Now they are pursuing him harder because, in case you missed it, the Rocky spinoff movie Creed came out, and by all accounts, it's actually doing pretty damn good. Financially, critically, it's allegedly a success. So Ryan Coogler has picked up some heat for that. I mean, he also wowed Sundance with Fruitvale Station, which was another movie starring Michael B. Jordan. But for now, Marvel is courting him to maybe take on the King of Wakanda. And so we'll see what comes of that. But his resume is not very large. As I mentioned, Creed and Fruitvale Station are two of the bigger ones, if the only ones. But it's a fairly impressive resume, critically speaking, anyway.
So and when does Michael B. Jordan get cast in Black Panther?
What?
When does Michael B. Jordan get casted in Black Panther?
I don't know. I guess it depends on whether or not Chadwick Boseman throws a fit and demands more money like a Terrence Howard and they just replace him.
Well, I mean... True. I'm just saying, like, in the two movies that Coogley has done, they're both starred with Michael B. Jordan. So, and we already know he's the Human Torch. It wouldn't be the first time a Human Torch jumped ship to the MCU. Really?
Ooh.
Nothing? Fuck you guys. Excommunicated from the tribe. Look, I haven't seen Creed, but from what I've heard of Creed, it was a very faithful continuation of the Rocky series in a new direction. So that's cool. But what I don't know is, like, is he ready for a big budget action movie? I mean, granted,
Chadwick Boseman.
Well, not Chad. I'm talking about the director, if he's going to direct. Boseman, you know, he's an actor. They're supposed to.
Chadwick Boseman ran the black biopics for a while. He did James Brown. He did Jackie Robinson. He did.
Now
don't
he's
care
the king.
And don't care. Didn't see either.
Now he's the king of. So he was. Now he's the king of Wakanda.
He's the king of Wakanda. Okay, cool. I'm with that.
Oh, what was Eddie Murphy's kingdom when fucking Coming to America?
Wasn't it Wakanda too?
No.
Was that Wakanda?
I don't think
Wakanda with you.
Whatever the
but
point
the
is,
cornbread.
The point is, if it's him, he in the two movies he's done, he's
Who's
much
Water villain.
He's much like what's his name? The white guy who directed X-Men.
That Bryan Singer.
No,
or
the
Matthew
other white
Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, the gay guy.
Not the gay. I would have said the gay guy.
Was that the singing guy?
Were like a very short resume, but made quality films that translated to superhero movies very well. So
Zamunda, that was it. It's hopefully. Zamunda.
Zamunda? Who's Zamunda?
That's the kingdom from Coming to America. Eddie Murphy's hey, king.
You know what's funny? You know what Zamunda means?
What?
Breasts.
Of course it does.
It's a black thing.
All right. So I like it. You know, I like it. Cool. Good for him. Taser, you're black. You talk about this.
I like Zamundas. I also do not care. You know, I don't care about who the director is and who the actor is. Just make the movie, make it good, and I'll enjoy it. You know, if it was Michael B. Jordan, of course, I still want Chiwetel Ejiofor, if I said that name correctly, the dude
you're
from.
You're black, so you're the closest any of us are going to get. So.
He doesn't count as black. He's UK. They're not black. They're something else. But anyway. the one for 12 Weeks a Slave? 12 Days
yeah,
a Slave?
Yeah, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
He's Baron Mordo,
chewing
though.
Gum, chewing gum elephant, whatever. that guy. I wanted him. I still like him, the idea of him as T'Chango. But I don't care. You know, just make the movie, make it good, and put some gold on his outfit, because black and silver is boring. I swear to God, that is an ugly-ass suit. It's dull.
I'm sorry, you want to make Black Panther not black?
No, I want
That's
Black
racist.
Panther to have
You're
a
racist.
Decent outfit.
You're racist.
This whole podcast is racist.
You're racism! Racist. No, I'm just saying his costume sucks, you know? Just
you
like
suck.
Wonder Woman's costume sucks. It's dim. I'm tired of dim, boring, based on
He's
realism
comics.
He's the
one guy in the Marvel who is justified for having a dim costume. His name is Black Panther. His
Have you seen Black Panther's costume in the comics?
Black.
Have you seen his costume in the comics?
Yes.
And does he not have gold on it?
Not often, no.
Yes, he does.
Oh,
he
no,
has
he
the teeth things. The crocodile teeth around his neck are gold. His talons are gold. He has color on the costume. It stops it from being simply black, which is fucking boring. The black guy wearing all black and all black outfit is fucking boring. That's like fucking Diggle and Arrow. Black guy wearing all black. Boring. Give him something that adds a bit of color. It breaks things up. It looks better visually. That's why Superman having an all-blue fucking outfit is fucking boring. The trunks broke it up. I want something different. I want him to have a little bit of color. It'll be bling. Black people used to wear gold. Put a gold chain around his neck or some shit. I don't know.
That's racist.
No, it's not. It's culturalism.
John, take it away. What do you think about Brian Coogley being Black Panther director?
As long as he doesn't drag Michael B. Jordan into it, I'll be fine.
Why are you hating on a black man?
B. Jordan was the best part of that shit-stained Fantastic Four movie.
No, Kate Mara was the best thing.
She was lifeless in that.
She kept it from being a sausage fest.
And a rock
so
fest.
So what, she gets it by just by virtue of being a woman?
Yes, her vagina helped save that movie.
That's sexist.
That was her house of cards. She didn't get tossed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
isn't it?
Oh, God.
I will say this. It's a good choice. I've heard a lot of the good things about Creed. I want to see it myself, but it's a wait and see. And I do agree with Taser. Maybe just a little bit of gold on the outfit to kind of highlight it a little bit. Otherwise, I thought the costume looked great. So let's just leave it there.
I'll agree with that. It's just that I'll agree with you.
It needs to sing. Yes, I know.
Yes, there you go. Let it sing, Mama. Let it sing.
Brian.
Next thing you know, you're going to want to put an open button shirt and tiara on someone like Luke Cage or some shit.
No,
you know?
Let him carry watermelons and I'd be happy.
God damn.
Fried chicken and grape juice, damn it.
I agree with that 100%.
I'm going to eat some grape soda.
What have I done? What have I done?
Shit.
Red Stockings fucking wrap us up with the segment.
Oh, I don't know if I can follow that, man. Holy shit.
It's not my fault. Iggy started it.
Okay.
Of course, blame the brown guy. Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But which one? There's two of you.
Whoa!
Whoa. Moving right along. Recently, we confirmed that Iron Fist, which was rumored to be shuffled off this Mortal Coil, had, in fact, stayed on with Netflix as part of the original plan to be made into a series.
Yay!
Much to the enjoyment of us, because I want to see them Kung Fu slippers, goddammit. But the question was, who would step up and run this bitch? Huh? Who would run
Who will lead
the
our
show?
People into battle against the White Devil?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, much like how the Iron Fist is chosen by plunging his heart your hand into the heart of a dragon, we have our showrunner. His name is Scott Buck. He served as an executive producer on Dexter and a producer on the show 6 Feet Under.
Ooh.
And he will take the reins of the fourth and final solo series before The Defenders comes to Netflix. Oh.
No release date, just a confirmation that it is being worked on.
No timeline yet on that. However, we do have a brief synopsis, which is something you really could have guessed at. Returning to New York City after being missing for years, Daniel Rand fights against the criminal element corrupting New York City. With his incredible kung fu mastery and ability to summon the awesome power of the fiery Iron Fist.
Everybody was kung fu fighting! Ha! Now kicks was fast and lightning! Ha!
We'll have a whole episode dedicated to Asian stereotypes in a couple when Iron Fist comes up. Don't you worry.
This was a little bit frightening!
I'm happy. I'm happy that it's being worked on. 6 Feet Under is a great show. Go watch it if you haven't watched it. I never saw Dexter, but I'm not really, I don't know. I'm not really a fan of
it. I watched Dexter. It had about 4 good seasons, and then it sort of fell off the rails. But there's only 7, so it is. Yeah.
Well, you know, now, I'm just glad the ball is rolling. That's what I'll say, is I'm glad the ball is rolling, and this guy, I don't know how he's going to do as a showrunner, but the only thing it's like, of course it's going to be in fucking New York City. You can't give me Kunlun. You can't give me Kunlun.
Probably get flashbacks.
I want Kunlun, damn
it. That'll be Chinatown.
Oh, jeez.
Kunlun's in the backyard of Chinatown.
Exactly. Yes.
The Kiwasabi special.
Let it go, and it's
the
Chinatown.
The Kiwasabi special is how you get into Kunlun.
Wasabi!
All right, that's Japanese.
I just want to see Misty Knight burst on the scene like, damn! Like Afro and all that shit, and that's what I want.
She's got to have Afro pups.
What you don't know is that Brian Power secretly sees all black people as if it's a blaxploitation film. Brian, take
to
it away.
To be fair, my number one person is Taser, and he very much acts like he is in a blaxploitation film.
What you're saying is Taser was Black Dynamite at some point?
Would you hate that, Taser, if you were Black Dynamite at some point?
Show enough!
All right, Taser,
show enough, motherfucker!
Am I the baddest little dough mofo around this town? Show enough! Bruce Leroy!
Oh, jeez.
I got the glow.
Taser, speak on thoughts of Iron Fist actually in production.
Oh, I want to go.
No.
Show enough! No, sorry. I couldn't help that one. Yay, Iron Fist! Yay, Iron Fist! And, yay, Iron Fist! It's moving forward. Yay, that's all I can say right now. We haven't heard any other real specifics, so I'm just happy it's moving forward. Now give me some info about, you know, aside from he fights crime in, you know, Manhattan, which still makes him fucking Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Hey,
give
there
me something
Hell's
else.
Kitchen, sir.
He's still in Manhattan. I mean, that's, you know, that's like 1/5 New York City, and it's the only part that matters for most of the fucking planet. You know, that doesn't say a whole lot. Give me something else. You know, you got to do something different with Iron Fist, or else he's just going to be Daredevil, except with more money. You know, he's Batman minus the fucking belt and the gadgets and the toys and everything else. So, you know, tell me something. Tell me what the hook is, because as it is, Iron Fist fighting crime in New York is kind of dull.
Maybe he doesn't fight crime. Maybe he fights ninjas.
Maybe. Ooh, you know what? If it was Iron Fist versus the Hand, I might be very happy with that, but I doubt they do that. You know, but we don't know. But see, that's the whole thing. We don't know. So as it is, the project's moving forward. Yay! Now tell me something good. So.
Well, we'll have to wait in a couple of weeks. You know,
exactly.
Luke Cage hasn't even started production yet, I don't think. Or it has.
No, Luke Cage has. We've gotten set photos for
it
that.
It has.
Yeah. I finished Jessica Jones. Yay!
We'll give an update on Jessica Jones in just a bit, people. John.
That's good. I like Iron Fist. We'll see how it goes. It's just a wait and see. And, you know, if it's anything like the other two, it'll be good. So there you go.
Brian.
Yes, I actually have seen Dexter, as I mentioned. I watched about the first 4 seasons because that was really only the quality stuff in that show. After that, the wheels kind of fall off. But, what I saw in those first 4 seasons was good. I'll be digging into whether or not he was executive producer for any of that time, because if he's the exec producer in the later seasons, that actually gives me pause, because that was not good storytelling. Although, interestingly enough, the association with both Dexter and 6 Feet Under gave me pause in thinking that would lend credence to a theory that maybe Michael C. Hall would be considered for Daniel Rand, but that I'm not really sure about because he's already 44 years old, so he might be a bit too old for that. But, you know, given that Michael C. Hall was on both shows as a headline, as a main star, and that he's worked with Scott Buck before, I mean, I can imagine him at least being looked at by Marvel. But then again, do creators ever really have control over the story when it comes to Marvel creations? I doubt that. That being said, whether or not he was calling the shots on Dexter for the first half or the latter half of the show will determine whether or not how excited I am. In fact, I'm actually going to look that up right now because I am super curious. Let's see. He moved to work as co-exec and writer for the second season. Ooh, that was one of the better seasons of Dexter. All right. Okay. Well, now I am excited. So, yeah, chalk me up as tentatively excited. Oh, cool. He remained exec through the 4th season. Fucking A. All right. He was in for the good shit. I am excited. I have confidence in this series now. So, go Scott Buck. And if I hear Michael C. Hall being rumored for the role, I won't be surprised.
All right, well, there you go. Let us know what you think about Iron Fist. So now we're going to go on to the reason why Iggy was super racist today. Because our book of the week is the aforementioned Red Wolf #1 from Marvel Comics. This is the first ongoing for Red Wolf in quite some time. Am I not wrong, guys?
You are not wrong, Mr. Iggy, sir.
All right, so basically, this is written by Nathan Edmondson.
Yes.
With art by...
Ooh, I'm going to see him pronounce this.
Hold on. I am part Native American, so I can pronounce this.
You are?
A little bit, yeah.
The Texcoalcoalcoal...
Dalibor Talajic? Talajic? It's probably like a lot more intricate than that. Who's actually Native American.
Aztec, there you go.
No, yeah, I actually am. Actually,
yeah, because you're Mexican.
Yeah.
All y'all.
Yeah, I'm also,
y'all are
I'm also
all
a little bit
Aztecian.
White. I'm also a little bit of white because that disgusts me.
yeah, I self hate too because I got some English in me.
Well, I got Spanish. So, I asked myself, why don't I look sexy every day? Then aren't the Spanish as full as either way? Why don't I look like Vega?
Like...
Why should I look like Vega? So I wake up every morning. Why don't I look like Vega? This is Red Wolf #1.
Oh, Rebecca Linares.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is, I'll say this much. I was like, you know what? I made this book of the week because I wanted something different. I wanted something interesting. This looked like it was going to be in Old West. I love the cover. I had just finished playing Red Dead Redemption for the second time. So basically, things for like either the late 19th century, early 20th century was sort of yearning for me. I read this issue. I thought it was okay for the most part. You know, we had some Indians, some Native Americans who, you know, fighting racism, you know, fighting against racist white people while also being the sheriff, you know, just being a peaceful man of the law, despite that you white devils are really ignorant as all fuck. Until one of his people gets, one of the, somebody goes missing, he has to go find them. All of a sudden, he runs into a man who seemingly has technology or magic, and this is why I will not be continuing with the series, because Red Wolf throws a knife at him. It damages his fluctuation capacitor, and Red Wolf is transported to seemingly the future with selfies and cell phones, and I'm thinking, well, I'm done. I'm not reading this anymore. I wanted a Western, and that first half was really interesting. It wasn't the greatest. It did a good. I think it did an interesting, a good enough job of establishing who he was, the world he was set up in, what the trials he was gonna difficult go through. I would love to see some like supernatural stuff in the Old West, playing on some of those old legends. Maybe see the old Ghost Rider. You know, that could have been cool. Nah, we're gonna completely remove him from that and put him in, you know, modern times, because Native American in modern times, yeah. And he'll
win,
and, you know, not even that. Like, it was diversity enough by having him be a sheriff in the Old West. That was cool. I don't want to read this book anymore. I wanted an Old West comic. You know, I wanted, not Old West, but, like, I wanted, like, the dying days of the West. I wanted something like that. And I was given to it, and it was taken away from me before the damn issue was over with. I gave it a 1 out of 5.
Wow.
I, like, that ending pissed me off. Like, you see this, you see the six shooter, you see the tomahawk, you see these, you know, there could have been some amazing, there's the Southwest and the West, especially, you know, has some great imagery of not just rocks and sand everywhere. Some really great, interesting imagery that you don't see, you wouldn't see normally in a Marvel comic. But you know what? Fuck that noise. We're going to give you skyscrapers, because it's not like you don't see it enough, right? 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 Seriously, this is the biggest disappointment of this year.
Oh!
Like, it was promising on it was promising something, and then you decided to go, no, I don't want to do that. This, it wasn't bad. The art was really good. I really liked the art. But I'm not going to keep reading this, because I cannot. I wanted to read about a Western, not future Native American past stuck in the future. I don't want to read a Captain America story. I wanted to read the Red Wolf story, and this is not a Red Wolf story. 1 out of 5. Balding Eagle.
Title sucked. It really sucked bad. It sucked major ass. I was mad. Therefore, I give it 0 fucks out of 5. If I have to read this again, I'm going to die.
You sound like an illiterate white man, not a Native American trying to speak English. I'm just saying you right now.
He sounds okay, like Kimo Native Sabe. American if this was the 1950s.
Yeah.
And he was in a TV show. So, yeah, he's doing a good job.
This is about as much effort as I want to give for the review, because the title was shit. That's all I can say. Pure, unadulterated shit. Not the Red Wolf I'm familiar with. That's not that nothing against the character himself in here. It was just shit. Zero fucks out of five given. Definitely not reading it again. There you go.
Red Stockings, please give us your review.
All right, then. Iggy, did you also read the 1872 series, the precursor series to this event?
No.
Okay, well, I did. So I had even more expectations and investment heading into this series than I would think most of you, if not all of you. That being said, I wasn't real keen on reading a book about this guy, if only because I don't know him and I could give two shits, and he was the least compelling character of 1872. So, the issue wasn't bad. It wasn't very good. I mean, there was a lot of engines being tossed around, and I mean the word, not actual engines. There's more white people being tossed around.
It would have been more entertaining.
That's debatable. the artwork is actually very good. I enjoyed it. So, ups to the illustrator, Talagic. Good on him. I really just find it hard to care. That's not to say the issue itself was bad. I'm sure, I mean, it was fine. I wasn't offended by it. I wasn't put off by anything, but it's just kind of meh, you know? And I'm not sure if the ending of this book is an attempt to try and remedy that by, hey, modern day is more exciting than anything that we could do in there with engines, and blood magic, and engines magic, and et cetera, et cetera. But I liked 1872. I liked the compelling cast of Western Avengers they had created. I liked the idea of them all teaming up together and ushering in the Marvel era in the Old West. The fact that we will not be getting that is an extreme disappointment, and I hope this is just a temporary thing and that he eventually goes back to the Old West. I wouldn't bet on it because, you know, why would I? But I hope they eventually do get him back there. And also, as I mentioned before the show started, in the universe of 1872, of this book, and they make explicit mention of it, Steve Rogers and Tony Stark and all of them, they existed in the Old West in 1872. So theoretically, they don't exist in the future that Red Wolf was just shunted into. So whether or not they show up is anybody's guess, but I'll be interested to see the implications of that universe, if only to see how much it differs from the 616 universe. But as a plot point, I just was not enthused, but then again, I wasn't enthused by anything in this book, so I can't really hold that against it. So I give it I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5. I hesitate to give it a 3.5 because it's really just kind of baseline stuff. Character is in situation, character gets put off in situation, character gets shunted in the future. Classic Marvel's tee up. But whether or not the continuity of the 1872 carries over and affects the universe that we see will probably be a deciding factor in me buying the next issue or not buying the next issue. And whether or not he eventually returns to the Old West, well, that'll be another deciding factor. But for right now, I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5.
Taser, please. You, as black as sky, review the issue.
Not black as sky, I'm seething hatred! Ugh. Kimosabe.
We're mixing the cultures.
It doesn't matter! It doesn't matter what you want. Anyway, I didn't enjoy this as much as I was kind of looking forward to, because I thought that this was going to be, you know, the reboot to the character, and it turns out I thought it was just another one of those late fucking Secret Wars realm books, you know? Because I mean, once I saw Steve Rogers Sheriff in 18 whatever the fuck, I went, oh my god! And then I saw one of the men that wanted to, you know, string up fucking Red Wolf because of the two people that had gotten killed. One of them was named Wingard, and I'm like, wow, really? The fucking mutant? And there was just like a couple of other name drops there that I just kind of like rolled my eyes. So I thought all of this shit was, you know, one of the fucking Battle World fucking Doom recreations of shit, you know? And at that point, I just kind of checked out. You know, I finished the story and you know, got to him being sent to the future, and I can't even say how annoying it was, but how accurate it is. Fucking bleeding Indian dude, lying on the fucking sidewalk, and, you know, three fucktarded kids roll up on their bicycles and is like, dude, I'm gonna twit this! Because that's the type of scenario that our society is in now. Where some shit happens, the first fucking thing we do is we pull out our phones to record it to share with the rest of the world. fucking morons. This story, it was actually kind of interesting up until it ruined itself for me. I can't say I was enthusiastic about reading it in the first place. And to be perfectly honest, I thought this was going to be about Red Wolf 2, the guy with the mystical guy with the powers and shit. I would have rather read about him. No, this was like reading about Arakan or fucking, what's his name? The dude from Valiant, you know, that Indian
Turok?
Dude.
Turok.
Yeah, Turok.
Well, he's not under Valiant.
A dinosaur right. hunter, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right, actually. But he was at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, this was Indian guy with a knife, and he's dispensing justice. I was like, hey, look, it's Bravestar.
Oh, ho, ho.
Yeah, exactly. And then watching...
If it had the talking horse in it, it would have been entertaining.
Good point. But, yeah, once the guy from the future tracked them back instead of wasting people left and right, and I saw Arak jump off his horse and then run around. I'm like, watch, the Indian dude with the knife is going to score a hit. Whereas everybody else with bullets, you know, just kind of, you know, futched up. And sure enough, that happened. And then he got, like, Samurai Jack, he got sent to the future. It was fucking Samurai Jack.
Ooh, let's talk about Samurai Jack.
Yeah,
it's coming back.
It's coming back, yeah.
I didn't hate it like the rest of you guys, but I have no real desire to read the second issue. I'll give it 2.7 Warriors out of 5 because I really like the art. The art was
the strongest point of the issue.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Much.
That's also true. But, I can't recommend issue 2 because I can't even recommend this issue, honestly. I have no desire to. I'm actually going to delete it off of my fucking tablet. That kind of tells you how much I care about that book.
All right, are we done? Are we done with Red Wolf?
Yes.
Okay.
We done. Red Wolf done. Go back to casino.
We bring you May.
I can sign this book to a reservation.
Now it's time for me to smoke from a peace pipe because I need to forget. It's time
peyote.
For,
all right.
We're going to do some peyote. All right. Let's move on to individual reviews. Because I'm going to need peyote for this next review of Doctor Strange number 3. Oh, I actually did a good job in that segue.
Look at you.
I'm
proud of you, Iggy.
I as host. I haven't talked about this since issue 1, so I'm going to talk about it again. I love this book. I love Jason Aaron's work. I love the sort of wit that Doctor Strange has. Basically, a lot of this issue was Doctor Strange running around New York City butt naked in the astral plane. Like, literally, like, when you think Doctor Strange, you think of that Ditko must have been on drugs kind of thing from the 60s. And Chris
was definitely on drugs. Who are you? Who are we kidding?
Well, yeah, but we don't know. I mean, we don't know. But a lot of sort of weird-ass imagery, a lot of crazy shenanigans,
shenanigans
ultimately resulting in Doctor Strange getting the magic sucked out of him by these sort of magic absorbing leeches.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was. Wong makes an epic appearance until finally they get it under control. Doctor Strange gets back into his body and they realize, like, wait a minute, you know, they shouldn't even really be here in this magical ether. They should have plenty of place to go. And he mentions this Fandazar Fu, a nexus point between dimensions. And when you see this beautiful image of what you think magic heaven would look like, and they open the door to go to this gateway, and it's basically like the color gets zapped out of the comic, and it looks like a Zack Snyder film. It's all
dark. That's not a good thing.
No, it's not. But for the comic, it works to establish the point of just how. Like, the first half of the book's very bright colors, very full of magic, and the second half of the book, they go to this world that's literally been sucked, dried of magic, and it's gone.
It's been Zack Snydered.
Yeah, it's been Zack Snydered. Exactly.
You've been Snydered.
Oh. And, like, God damn it!
A I had no call for it, but I just, for whatever reason, be saying something about Snyder just evokes that music to me. I don't know.
The point is, Doctor Strange discovers that certain things, okay, some, like, as we saw the first issue in the backup story that was given to us, something, these evil people are committing inquisitions on magic users, and Doctor Strange is officially on their list, and it looks like they're part of the Empirical, and in a really well done page, the final page is one of the Empirical. I'm assuming he's the leader of this particular inquisition, killing this whale like creature. All you see is, like, again, the color is, whenever these guys are on screen, there's no color. It's like the only thing that was color was the blood, accentuating the blood and just how lifeless it is. And they believe magic is evil. So basically they're Christians.
They call the movement the Inquisition.
Yeah, yeah.
Inquisition.
Let's begin the Inquisition. Look out, sin. Yeah, that one.
I'm really enjoying this. Aaron is doing a great job of telling, like, in the background, like, okay, there's some deep shit building, but also we're gonna have some fun with Doctor Strange seemingly high and doing some crazy wacky crazy fun adventures before the real shit hits. So I love it. I love this book. It's everything that I want it to be, and my dog won't shut the hell up. So I love
John
this.
In your room, or fuck?
I love this book. I'm gonna keep reading it however long it lasts. Get on it now. Get the first three issues. It's good. And Chris Bocciolo is tearing it out of the house. He's homaging Ditko, but he's not copying Ditko.
Yeah, he's doing an incredible good job on here.
Like if I couldn't think of a perfect artist for Doctor Strange, it's Chris Bocciolo in the modern day. I give it a 4 out of 5. It was another very good issue of Doctor Strange. I'm so happy that this is the Doctor Strange series I've been waiting for. So now let us go to Balding Eagle, who is going to review the Totally Asian Hulk #1.
Yes, instead of yellow, we're seeing green.
Okay,
hey, folks, he'll be here all week.
Human Resources just called, and they're telling me I'm fucked. Anyway. All right, this is the Totally Awesome Hulk #1, the one we've all been waiting for with bated breath, the return of Amadeus Cho into a normal title, and guess what? Worst kept secret? He's the new Hulk. And it's done by Greg Pak and art, which I'll have to admit, I do like the art in here. It's by Frank Cho. Frank Cho.
Frank Cho did the interiors for this issue?
Yes, he did.
Oh, I bet there are some good-looking women in that issue.
Yes, there is. And there's a reason why they're all...
16-year-old sister.
Anyway, if I was 16.
Questionable.
Depends on what state.
Oklahoma. Hey, we're fine. Anyway. I will say this. This has been a very enjoyable title. Starts out with a very Godzilla-like opening with this creature coming out of the water and has the spikes coming out of the water, very Godzilla style. And you see Amadeus just sitting there eating food, and he waits till the last minute, and he goes, okay, I've fed my monster now, and the monster's ready, and no little kid's going to get hurt on my watch. And he turns into the Hulk, punches out this two-headed turtle, and... he's like, hey, it's awesome, hey? And they're like, whoa, wait a minute, how can you talk? And they're, all that. And he's trying to brag, and all of a sudden the turtle grabs him by the head, and he's like, whoa. He starts boom, 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 Looney Tunes.
Wait. He's like, hmm? He's like, whoa? Or is it more, hmm?
He's more like, whoops, and then zip, and then you hear, ow, ooch, hook,
Is this book a Three Stooges skit? The fuck is going on?
No, basically he does.
He got grabbed by
Loki got done by Hulk in Avengers.
Yeah.
See, that's a much clearer. Okay, I got that.
Sorry, maybe not as clear as I should be, but
that's because you're from Oklahoma. Exactly. That's all.
Yeah. Read the book; it might help too. But the Hulk finally, shows us, like, dude, you're not the only super genius on the beach. Grabs a thing of propane, throws it into the turtle's mouth, and it blows the heads up, and they see then they shrink the turtle. And the turtle goes, roink. And then he's like, so, where were we? And he's, you know, making, you know, move on the babysitter. It's like, look, one piece of advice, if you want to talk to a girl, you might want to wear pants. And it's like, oop, and then it has censored, so the editorial staff, yeah. But it was funny. I liked it. It fits the attitude. And then he goes back to their secret little hideout called the Meat Wagon. It's a food, you know, van. And gets punched out by his sister, who then proceeds to gripe him out for, you know, not being, you know, more serious about stuff. And then it flashes back as we were wondering what was going on with Banner. And it shows Banner talking to Iron Man and Black Panther, and they're in Kenya. And then the Hulk goes in to take out this nuclear reactor or whatever. And he winds up absorbing radiation. And I'm going to have to get on the plane here in a minute. But it shows the Hulk, you know, absorbs all this, you know, radiation that's not gamma. And it's inside of him, and it's growing much, much stronger. But then you see him scream as the Hulk. Then it flashes back to Cho, you know, normal time. And it shows where he goes to sleep, to rest. And takes a nap, and he's like, yeah, I got this because I ain't Banner. I'm Amadeus Cho, and he's driving in the dream a big green Cadillac, and it has Cho Time as the license plate. And he's like, because I'm Amadeus Cho, and I've got the monster right where I want him. And he's in, you see the Hulk in the trunk, duct tape into the trunk. Not himself duct tape, but the hood, you know, the trunk is duct tape. Next scene, you see She-Hulk and Miles Morales fighting this guy called Nash or whatever, some weird deal going Nash or Nash. And then all of a sudden, Amadeus comes down and going, and Hulk smash. She-Hulk goes, really? And he goes, come on, they set me up. How could I not? And his sister grabs him out, and he's like, what? I'm not, you know, because she was telling him, no flirting with She-Hulk. And he's like, what? I'm quipping, not flirting. And dude, she's like 40. She's like, what?
She's nothing. Not 40. She's like 35.
Then you see... She-Hulk
was actually a really funny scene.
Yeah, it was
funny. Fucking hilarious.
Because then She-Hulk goes fine and kicks the guy in the, you know, Nasher in the nads, and they, you know, and Cho takes out the other guy, and they both punch them both out. And a humorous moment with Spider-Man when he's like looks around, pops one guy on the side of the head, and he goes like, "And stay down." And then he's like, "So you're the new guy?" And he's like, "Yeah. What do you think?" Well, She-Hulk is like, I hear you've been running around like a crazy person, not checking in with the Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D. or any other authority, so not much. She talks like she's 40. What? Nothing. I'm being a good Hulk, staying focused, sticking to protocol, and I'm going to shrink down these bad boys. And then you hear this rumble, and Spider-Man goes, I know you guys don't have Spidey sense, but trust me, you should duck. You hear this voice go, no fools, you should kneel. And crack. Hulk gets wasted by this mace, and it says, before Lady Hellbender, the Monster Queen of Sek'narf 9. Yeah. And he's
that
like,
was actually a funny day.
Yeah, and then she's like, Amadeus, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. Crunch, boot back in the face, and she's like, huh, what do you mean you're fine? You're getting smashed into the ground by an alien queen. And he goes, I mean, she's kind of fine, if you know what I mean. And his sister's like, oh, boy. And it says, to be Hulk continued. Okay, I will give my honest opinion on this. I was thoroughly blown away.
You just fucking Hello? Dropped.
I think you dropped. All right.
No. Hold on. Oh, that's wrong.
I'll give you my honest opinion. I dropped.
The white devil pulled his call. Wow. All right, Taser, did you want to wrap up his thoughts real quick or
anything? Yeah, it was a fun book, but I think that's what they're going to be going for with this. This was a young guy Hulk. You know, Cho is what, 19, his sister's 16. They're both super geniuses. She seems to have like the dominant spot. Hey! Yay! All right, continue then.
Well, basically, I'm just going to say that the title is very enjoyable. I will give the second issue a try. I give this one four out of five. You know, I'm glad to see Greg Pak back on Hulk, so you know it's going to be a good ride. And
would I like it?
I think you might. I would say give it a try and just see how you go.
Okay.
I was kind of, like I said, I was not, you know, I had low expectations going in, but, I mean, it far exceeded, I mean, way far exceeded what I was expecting. And it was a lot more humorous than what I was expecting, too. I mean,
I'll definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So it was a good ride, just like Doctor Strange 3 was this week. And there you go. I also highly recommend the latest issue of Invincible Iron Man before Bendis does his inevitable downcline. So there you go.
All right. Let us go to Seething Hatred.
How what? Who? Who and where? Is it my turn?
Yeah, about freaking time, isn't it?
Okay. if, before I do that, I just want to say, before he came back and interrupted me, I agree with him that this was a fun book. I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I did because I don't like Amadeus Cho. I liked him, not enough to read the book, but I liked him, you know, pre-Hickman reboot. This version of Cho, I don't think I'll like, but the situation and trying to find out exactly what the fuck happened to Banner is kind of interesting. So I kind of want to stick around for a little bit just to find that out and to see exactly how Cho became the new Hulk. So I'll give it at least three issues. I'll definitely say that. Beyond that, you know, that's kind of a crapshoot, but I'll give it a standard three. If I had to review it, I'd probably give it a 3.8 Warriors out of 5. You know, it was a fun book. I didn't expect a fun book. I don't like Cho, but I kind of like the situation. So, you know, there's that. On to my book, I'm reviewing Spidey number 1. Yay!
And it's not written by Dan Slott, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's not written by Dan Slott.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear your thoughts because I saw it, but like I wasn't sure if I wanted to read about young Peter Parker.
I'm not saying Dan Slott's bad. I'm just...
He's overstayed his welcome.
Yeah, I agree.
But go ahead, Taser.
Sorry.
Well, I picked it up because... Well, it was called Spidey number 1, so I kind of figured, oh, this is going to be different. And yes, it was. This is young Peter Parker. Peter Parker, not exactly the outcast nerd that he was originally. This is... the Spectacular Spider-Man TV series type Peter Parker, you know? Harry's in high school. Fucking Gwen Stacy's in high school. Gwen Stacy, they needed to take and really bolster her character. So I know that one of the spider chicks out there is Gwen Stacy, the one with the hood, and she's like a rebel. This one, Gwen Stacy's in, you know, on par with Peter Parker. And she's tough chick who smokes, I think, and wears makeup, and she punches out fucking Flash Thompson. I'm like, really? They have to do all this just to, like, play with her character? She has to be all of that shit? Seriously?
So it's Ultimate Gwen?
Not even. This is Ultimate Gwen plus plus.
Oh, dear God.
In my opinion. I'm saying the Ultimate...
Whiny?
She just seemed like she needed to be somebody better than the boys, you know, like
got a chip on
Peter Parker. Yeah, definitely that. Peter Parker was like, you know, Big King Brain in high school originally. Here, it's some other girl who like, and of course, stereotypical. She's Indian, something or other.
Sure.
And Peter Parker, he's already doing the Spider-Man thing. They don't really focus too much on his origin. They kind of flash back at the first couple of pages. But, you know, they just kind of want to get you into, you know, the now, where he attacks this woman who's got this bunny motive. She's robbing a bank.
Sure. Okay, why not?
You know? And it makes him...
I would actually love to see that.
That would actually be funny, but no, she's that. Well, she is a white rabbit, and she is kind of dressed like the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland with a watch and all. So go figure. But it makes him late for school. And, you know, he's
late.
You know,
he's late for a very important,
important date.
But, no, he's late for a pop quiz. And,
oh,
my God, he doesn't do that well in the quiz. Because I don't know if anybody's noticed, but they kind of lowered Peter Parker's geniusness.
Ugh,
you know,
that's annoying.
People seem to be kind of like, well, let's take him down a notch. So in this, apparently he doesn't do well in history. Gwen doesn't do as well in biology. So let's pair them together. Yay, we can help out each other. So, okay. And Peter, he's got, you know, kind of like, well, Gwen Stacy. Gwen Stacy. Whoa! So, yeah. It's not a bad book. Also, Harry Osborn's in high school. They go to Oscorp, and, you know, they're taking the grand tour, and everybody's oohing and on and shit, and Dr. Octopus strikes, because technology, I must have it, I'm Dr. Octopus. And, you know, Parker does the whole surreptitious save the day thing, run into the bathroom and change it to the costume thing, gets into the fight, does some quips, manages to chase Doc Ock off with, what the fuck was it? Like electric cable to the back. I swear to God, it's like, oh no, he shocked me with electricity. I'm going to run now because I'm pissed off. I mean, that's really what it was. You know, he bounces before he gets what he wants because he suffered one hit, which is just kind of dumb, you know?
It's classic Spidey, though. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Spider-Man saves everybody from being crushed by some type of big tube thing with... Yeah, yeah.
Why?
He kind of pulls it. Don't ask me why.
All right, fine.
And, of course, he has to make his way back to the rest of the class, you know, undercover, and he gets goofed on. So, I mean, that's kind of the end of it. You know, he goes home, and, you know, he talks to Aunt May, who doesn't look as shriveled old crone, although she does look like his grandma, which is still an improvement over 616 Aunt May, because that woman was a fucking zombie for 90 fucking years.
With a heart attack every other week, yes, I know.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know. She had a house. She had a home. She had a stock kitchen. She was skinny as a fucking rail.
Here's
I don't
the real
know how
deal.
To fuck...
She struck a deal with Mephisto. That's how she...
It was actually, like... I don't know how that woman managed to survive, really. It was a fucking miracle. This Aunt May, like I said, she looks like a granny, but she doesn't look as decrepit. You know, so, okay, yay, 2 points. And back at Oscorp, Norman is reviewing. He also gets to meet Peter, by the way.
From
by
downtown.
He gets to meet Peter by way of Harry, and they don't look like they have a bad relationship. Norman and Harry looks like, and hey, Dad, this is the guy I wanted to talk all about. He's like, whoa, son, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, really? Okay. And they don't have the same fucking weirdo hairstyle. Their hairstyles have been upgraded, so shit is different.
Yay!
Yeah. It doesn't look like something from the 1940s. Oscorp is reviewing the security tapes and whatever the fuck, and he starts talking about all of our plans are coming to fruition, looking at the desk and seeing the Green Goblin looking up from it. So he's already gone through whatever the fuck, you know, the formula treatment and shit. And that's where the book ends, to be continued. This wasn't bad. I honestly don't know if I'll be there for the next issue because I was just curious to see exactly where they, you know, what they were setting up with this. And like I said, this felt like the Spectacular Spider-Man TV show plus. You know, fucking Gwen, you know, Gwen couldn't just be, you know, a girl, you know, a female student, somebody he meets and falls in love with, just like Sue Storm. Sue Stormzy Richards, whichever way you want to put it, she can't just be his wife, who's not a dumbass. She has to be also a scientist and just as intelligent and blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of tiring. Like, really, do you have to revamp the character that much just so she's not less stupid than her break? No, well, no, not stupid, but, you know, well, her husband's a genius.
In Sue Storm's case, she was always intended. I mean, I don't think she was actually. Was she always intended? She was always a scientist, if I'm not mistaken.
No, she wasn't.
Not in the original.
She was a fucking model. She was a model. I kid you not.
So why did they put her on a rocket ship?
Because they were gonna they were gonna tell on Reed and Ben if they didn't take them along for the trip, because she had a crush on Reed, and that was it.
In the case of Sue Storm, I would argue that would be an improvement, because I don't want to see I don't want her to be a model. That's just, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, she was a pretty girl, and to be fair, that's how they wrote shit in the 60s, okay? I'm a pretty girl. I could be a model. They did it with Jean Grey. You know, she did some modeling, if I remember correctly. And look at fucking MJ. That's all she did, for the most part. So, you know, hey.
Yeah, but MJ
what I'm
was,
saying,
like, bomb, though.
MJ was no better looking than Jean Grey, and I'm saying it there.
Wow. There okay.
I'll battle anybody over that.
You mean they aren't the same person?
And you know what? Pepper Potts too. Bam! That's right. Wow. Marvel has an overabundance of redheaded females who are all the same fucking female minus the hairstyles. What?
I'm going to flag on the field on that one. I'm going to challenge you. Gauntlet's been
thrown. Go ahead.
Okay. Pepper Potts? Really? I mean,
Pepper Potts.
Really? In what way is she the same character as MJ or fucking Jean Grey? Honestly.
She's redheaded and has a vagina. There's no difference.
Oh, the only thing,
there's no difference. Oh, and Pepper didn't have superpowers. And she wasn't dating a guy with superpowers. MJ was dating a guy with superpowers. Pepper dated a guy with a suit. And fucking Jean Grey had powers and dated a guy with powers. There's no the redheaded females in the Marvel universe are almost all interchangeable, with the sole exception of who they were attached to romantically. I'm saying it, but with Gwen,
is this
with,
your way of saying that all white women look alike to you? Is that what?
No,
this is?
Not at all. Not at all.
Really?
That's a different argument.
Because you just compare. Oh God.
No, really. All I'm saying is this. While I don't mind an elevation in the character, you're looking at, well, they have to be so on par that they almost exceed the main character. You know what I'm saying? You know, it having a character who's in the same fucking field is just kind of, wow, really? Because I kind of felt that when I read Ultimate FF back in the day. Like, he's introduced to her. She's already in the program with her brother. So both Johnny and Sue are also geniuses. Do you get that?
Johnny shouldn't be a genius. I mean, he's always been he should be like the pilot playboy type thing. He shouldn't be a genius. Sue,
you know,
Sue can be whatever the fuck she wants, but she can't be a model. That's just...
Why?
Because she's a mother and a wife and just...
So she became one, but before, remember, Sue Storm
this just in,
was
Brian's
like
a misogynistic asshole for saying that women who are mothers can't be models or can't
Fine,
be models.
But, okay,
send all your hate mail to at no way, Mr. Powers,
okay,
on Twitter.
Sue Storm is about
they end always get her fit when they do the cutout costume where there's a giant four exposed over her midsection. People can throw a bitch fest about that. But when I say I don't want to envision
more like this
first family's mother as a model, that's where it just gets taken. Too far. Okay, fuck
well,
you.
Hold
guys.
On. You know,
you should see her in a red dress with a slit up the thigh. Woo!
Woo! Good. Lots of models become mothers. So I don't see
yeah,
why that's
that.
An issue.
The quarterback is married to one. Okay? I understand it. Tom Brady.
Who?
Tom Brady? Oh, fuck's sake. Just finish your goddamn review so we can get this.
No, all I'm saying is it's one thing to elevate the character's status. It's another thing to almost make the main character irrelevant because the new female character whose, you know, pseudo-romantic interest has the same status. You know, why can't they be different? I'm not saying that she has to be, you know, Miss Average, but to make her about as intelligent? Really? I mean, come on. They did that in the fucking Amazing Spider-Man movies. They did it in Spectacular Spider-Man because that Gwen was almost as intelligent as fucking Peter. You know, Peter just had, like, an edge, but she wasn't, you know, she was fine in the science arena herself. And it's just kind of like, eh, you know? So here, seeing her, not only she's intelligent, but she's also an ass kicker, and she's mature. And she, and you know what, I'm, to be honest, she knocked Flash Thompson on his ass. Flash Thompson had like a head plus. He had about at least 75 pounds and was a head taller than her.
And let me guess, she immediately attributed it to the fact that her father is a cop or something to that effect.
No, 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 we didn't get that, thankfully.
Thank God, because that would have just made it so much more cliche.
But that's what it was. It's a cliche at this point, you know, trying to elevate the female character so much so that she's better, you know, and that was just, fuck you. You know, fuck you. And she's standing over him just, you know, if Flash Thompson had gotten up and cunt punted her, I wouldn't have had a problem. Wouldn't have had a problem whatsoever because she'd have earned it, you know. She's there talking shit. You know it's not going to happen because God forbid we should show a guy punching the shit out of a girl who earned it. So, but all that being said, this book wasn't bad. I honestly don't think I'm going to pick up the next one. But if you've never read, like, Ultimate Spider-Man or, you know, Spider-Man back in the day, and you didn't watch Spectacular Spider-Man on TV, then this isn't a bad book at all. You know, I think this is better for maybe younger readers or somebody who doesn't really have any type of experience with Spider-Man or Peter Parker for that matter. And this Peter Parker, I didn't mind. He's not that whiny. Actually, he's not whiny. So I could like him because I hate 616 Peter Parker. I would give this book, I'll give it a four.
All right. Brian Powers.
Red Stocking, sir.
Red Stocking. Your real name is Brian Powers. Wrap up the fucking show.
Okay. I've got Daredevil number one, written by Charles Soule and illustrated by Ron Garney. This was bad. Like, it was really, really bad. Okay, so, look. We all know that Secret Wars is running a bit behind schedule, put mildly. So, you know there is going to be some loss in translation of what happened between the end of Secret Wars and the beginning of all these new series. And we also know that the cheap gimmick comics that get put out at the end of an event which advertise brief snippets of new number ones generally are read or just not cared about. And, I mean, they're certainly never bought. I didn't buy them. Ben, you didn't buy them, right? All those number one preview issues, Ben? Ben? Taser, did you
buy them? Nope, I didn't buy them.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so, understandably, a first issue should really give you an idea of where the series is at in terms of storyline. The foundation for this story is built on sand, essentially, because I have no idea what the fuck is going on. We open with Daredevil immediately jumping after some dude who was just thrown in the river, whatever the fucking river you guys have in New York City. Maybe the Taser, help me out. What's a river in New York City?
East.
Thank you. Maybe he got thrown in the East River. I don't fucking know.
Why couldn't you use the Boston River?
Well, because it's not in Boston. It's in New York, kid. Right? And we don't cross those streams. Giggity. So Daredevil dies after this guy who has apparently gotten on the wrong side of this gang called Ten Fingers, or the gang leader is called Ten Fingers. It's really fucking unclear. And in fact, I think it's both, actually.
That sounds sexual.
The gang is called Ten Fingers, and the leader is also called Ten Fingers. So
very sexual.
Yeah, huh? Well, hold on. We'll get to that. So Daredevil's in the river trying to track down this kid named Billy Lee, who was apparently ratted on the gang, and now he's targeted for death and whatnot. And Matt Murdock rescues him and goes beat up the gang who was fucking with him. And also, we get introduced, and I use the term introduced very loosely, to Matt Murdock's apprentice named Blindspot, who is apparently a kid from Chinatown who has a suit that can make him invisible, and he also does kung fu. I did not make any of that up. No, he doesn't even have the cute, folksy accent. He's got none of that. Instead, he gets blasted by Daredevil for not showing up on time, but he's like, I had to buy batteries to power the suit. Invisibility isn't free, etc., etc. So, Matt Murdock rescues this kid, Billy Lee, who was targeted by a gang called the Ten Fingers and led by a man called the Ten Fingers with his sidekick, Blindspot, and he brings him to Foggy Nelson's apartment. And Foggy Nelson and Matt are on the outs again.
Is Foggy cured of cancer?
He looks fine. He was in remission back at the end of Wade's run. Okay. So that carried over, I think. But also, Matt and Foggy are on the outs again. Don't ask me why. I don't know. We get a vague insistence that apparently it has something to do with what Matt Murdock did to make everybody forget that he was also Daredevil, because that's a thing, too. He erased all knowledge of his secret identity.
He made a deal with Mephisto.
Well, God, I hope not. But, yeah, so Foggy bitches at Matt for bringing the kid here, and he's like, I don't approve of what you do. I don't approve of how you're doing it, so this is the last time I'm ever going to help you, and Matt Murdock leaves, etc. And then we get to the New York County District Attorney's Office, where Matt is now a DA, as opposed to a defense attorney. Because, while we're at it, just fuck everything, right? His office is literally in the bottom of an elevator shaft. I shit you not. His office is at the bottom of an elevator shaft. Really, really think about that for a second. And if one of you can help me, have either of you ever heard of a New York lawyer character named Ellen King? Either of you?
No. Okay. Not at all.
She could very well be a brand new character created for the issue, but she is in the DA's office. She's higher up the rung than Matt Murdock is. Matt is literally the guy on the bottom of the totem pole.
Whoa!
Yeah. He gets visited by Billy Lee, who apparently Matt Murdock was working with, and that's how Matt found out about him being targeted for death. And Matt is, I'm not gonna lie, he's an asshole. He is like, this is Matt Hang'em High Murdock, or whatever the fuck that guy's name was from Law & Order. He goes hard-nosed, hardcore against this kid, basically telling him, look, you're gonna inform on these guys. Because, of course, obviously, the kid comes to Matt with some concern about the fact that he's ratting on a gang who just tried to kill him last night. And Matt's like, look, you're gonna inform. And if you don't, I will tell Daredevil not to protect you anymore, because also that's a thing. Now, apparently he could just throw around the fact that he's in league with Daredevil, and he would call Daredevil off, not protect him anymore, and then you'll definitely die. So, fuck you, kid. You're doing what I want. And then he literally brings the kid into the courtroom, and in Chinatown, the Ten Fingers gang, they meet up with their leader named Ten Fingers. It's very confusing. Ten Fingers is, I guess, this supposedly terrifying guy. We don't know what makes him so terrifying, except for the fact that he has at least 20 fingers on both hands.
Whoa!
Yeah,
hardcore. I'm gonna hurl. I'm gonna be sick.
Yeah.
Why?
Whoa! And apparently, they're not even his fingers, because apparently initiation is that you cut off your fingers and give them to this guy.
Whoa!
So that he can then wear them on his hands.
Whoa!
And cliche ending, the guy tells him to kill the witness and the lawyer too. So, yeah, issue two, we're on to that. Fuck this issue, okay? There's absolutely nothing here that would make you want to stay on for the next issue. This is bullshit, okay? When I go back and when I look at issue number one of Wade's run versus issue number one of Charles Soule's run, this is fucking gutter trash. That's what this issue is. There's no explanation of why Matt and Foggy are on the outs. No explanation of how everyone just forgets he's Daredevil. There's no explanation of why he's in the DA's office. No explanation of who Blindspot is. There's no explanation who Ten Fingers is or what the fuck his gang is. There's nothing here. There is jack shit in the way of explaining anything, and if they're waiting for issue 2 or 3, well, I guess I'll just go on not knowing, because I'm not buying the second issue. Fuck this issue. This was bullshit. I gave it a 1 out of 5, and that's only for the art by Ron Garney, who is the only saving grace of this issue, in that his art is actually very well done. But much like Iggy's Snyderverse, it is devoid of any color. And that's another thing, too. They changed Murdock's costume so that it's black. Again, like Shadowland. It's literally the Shadowland costume. I don't know what the idea is here. There's no clear direction. There's nothing here.
They can't even say the Netflix series, because even the Netflix series is going for the red again.
Oh, my God. I know.
But that's a very dark red, though. Have you seen that?
Yeah, but this one's black. This one's black. It's not, it's not red, though.
It's literally the Shadowland costume.
Which wasn't entirely a bad look.
No, but it's a,
I like
it's
the design.
Of a bad story. It should never be brought up again. There you go.
This issue, in terms of establishing the new status quo of Daredevil, failed miserably. It tells you almost nothing, just throws you right in the middle and expects you to be along for the ride because, hey, Charles Soule's also a lawyer who's now writing a lawyer. Isn't that fucking awesome? Save it, okay? I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to go reread Wade's run on Daredevil now, and I'm not going to think twice about not picking up the next issue. This was bullshit. 1 out of 5, Ron Garney, you deserve a better book, or at least a better writer. Done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. Send all your hate mail, your hate messages to at No Way Mr. Powers and at Marvelous Ziggy, because Taser will listen to them, but he won't give no fucks.
That's right.
So, you know, I thought it was funny, and I know it's funny because I got Taser to laugh, and that doesn't happen very often. So, follow me at Marvelous Ziggy, at Warriors3PCast for all updates on the show. So to give everybody the Christmas, it's the most wonderful time of the year. When everyone's a fucking prick and nobody cares how much they spend, then they look at the credit card bill in January and they go, oh my God, what have I... Anyways, it is Christmas time. So, our last show will be December. If we all have seen Star Wars, this is a big if.
Woohoo!
Because we're doing a Star Wars movie commentary. Go to marvelouscg.wordpress.com for the penultimate chapter of Empire Strikes Back movie Star Wars Marathon at RPG Commentaries. Please, marvelouscg.wordpress.com. Please go listen. They're fun. I made a Josh Whedon reference. That should make you nerds.
Whoa!
Happy, right? But our we're going to go on hiatus. Worst case scenario, our last show, if we have not seen the movie by the 18th, our last show will be the 14th, which is next week. Worst case scenario, best case scenario, our last show is on the 21st, the week of Christmas, if we've all seen it, and we're all able, you know, not traveling or anything. So the 21st will be our last show. We'll be going on break because the Marvelous one needs a break, and we will be back a month later on January 18th.
Are we going to do a Star Wars review?
Yes, I just said that.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said.
Are we going to do a Star Wars review?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you're going to be...
Hey, Taser.
Yeah?
We're going to do a Star Wars review.
We're going to do a Star Wars review.
I'm so glad. Whee! I'm so glad you're going to fire yourself next week after we read Secret Wars. After we read Secret Wars.
No, that's after 9.
No, that you said you might... After 8. You said you might do after 8. So 8 comes out next week.
Yeah,
So,
Taser, don't go.
So, yes,
don't leave me here.
It's a possibility. Depends on what they do.
So, either way, our last show hopefully will be December 21st. If not, it'll be next week, December 14th. You'll know whether a show goes up or not. I'll make an announcement, whether we all seen it or not, because I'm seeing it with a friend of mine. I'm seeing it that weekend, but I'm seeing it with her on the 21st. So, but we'll be back the 18th. So, you know, no Warriors 3, so, and no RPG commentaries either, because we're taking a break there as well, because I've been uploading a thing every Monday over there since January of last year. So I think I'm due a break. And head over to greenlandandcore.com, where I'm not taking a break over there because the comics never stop. And this Wednesday, you'll actually get my first ever retro review. Yes, because the Green Lantern books are sort of getting chopped down a little bit. Anytime there's not a Green Lantern, modern issue, I'll be reviewing a classic one. I'll give you a sneak peek by the time this comes out, the review should already be out. So it'll be Green Lantern Green Arrow number 76. The issue that started the classic run of Danny O'Neill and Neil Adams. I take a look back at that issue. I'm not going to give it a rating. I'm just sort of just examining my thoughts. So that's it for me. You guys have anything to say before we go?
Yeah, I got something to say.
Red Stockings, finish with the peace pipe, please.
Taser, please don't go, man. I can't see you go, man. Please don't leave, man.
Hey, how are ya? Hey, how are ya? Hey, how are ya? Ho, 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 ho.
December 18th.
Dude, I am so stoked for
May
that,
the force
man.
Be with you. And also,
bye. Going... Taser, shine on, you crazy diamond.
Do you know where that's from? Did you play Soul Edge back in the day?
Huh?
I was talking to you.
Me?
Yes, did you? Never mind, fuck off.
What?
Phil, get to your position.
As Brian goes, what the fuck just happened?
I don't even know what the fuck just happened.